The tradition that we would have that we certainly don't follow, we used to have traditional Swedish Christmas meal.
If you recognize that voice, it's Andy
Richter, and I am the host of the new CISO Christmas special, Home for the Holidays. You know, there's some of it is just, you know, there's Swedish pancakes, which are basically like crepes that you eat with lingonberries, and there's a fruit soup that is just sort of like, you know, eating a hot juice, a hot chunky juice. And glug, which is a mulled wine, which is good. And they would make a kind of a non-alcoholic version for the kids. But the thing that was like the centerpiece of the meal, which is Swedish peasant food, is lutefisk, which is a dried cod that's treated with lye for some reason because it preserves it and, you know.
And just tastes so delicious.
It's nasty because you have to rinse it and soak it and rinse it and soak it to get the lye out of it. And it makes your whole house smell like, you know, like a rotten fish. And then it's cooked in kind of like a white bechamel cream sauce. So it's like stinky, like cat vomit cream sauce fish that stinks up the entire house for 2 days. So that was always kind of like that tradition. And it's one of those things, too, that like even the old Swedes don't like it that much.
Yeah.
But they it's some kind of touchstone to their identity, like haggis or something, like something that no one really ever enjoyed. They had to eat it because it's what they had. And it's like some form of self-torture that, you know, we are blissfully not in need of.
Yeah, I thought you were just going to go to Swedish meatballs, which is what my family has on Christmas Eve every year.
Oh, no, yeah. And there's Swedish meatballs too, but that, you know, and we had those, but you know, those are just meatballs.
Yeah.
Call those, you know, those are just, you know, to call them Swedish meatballs is really like, it's really gilding the lily.
Yeah.
There.
Welcome to the CISO C Show. I'm Andrew Steven.
So just to give a little bit of your history, I was wondering if there's an abridged version, the Reader's Digest version of your history in comedy, maybe how you first got into it and what led you to where you are today.
Well, I was always, I was always the funny kid, the smart ass, and but I grew up in a small town, and I didn't think that show business was something you could really do for a living. So through a series of breakdowns of compromises that I made, I started out at University of Illinois in liberal arts and sciences, thinking that I might do journalism because I wanted to write. And then I halfway through there decided, no, I don't want to write for, I don't want to be a reporter. I want to be a TV writer or a movie writer. So then I went to film school in Columbia College. And then while I was there, I started acting in student films and realized, no, I don't really, I'm too lazy to write. I want to perform. And so I started taking improv classes. I had a friend that was taking improv classes at the Improv Olympic. And so that was very helpful to me, being, you know, sort of the timid type to have somebody already in classes there and seeing that it was, you know, all you got to do is pick up the phone and call them and spend a little money and you can go to these classes. And then from there, it just kind of grew. I found, you know, the main thing that it did is it introduced me to my true peer group, which is improv comedians. And then it just built from there. I started doing shows. And at the same time, I was working in film production. I had gone to film school and I was working in film production doing props. And that's kind of what I ended up doing in film production. I only did it for a couple of years, but I was doing props when I left, and and I could conceivably still be in Chicago working on television commercials, either doing props or producing them or something. But the performing really kind of grabbed me, and I started to, people gave me good feedback for it. So I felt like, yeah, I can do this. And then it just kind of slowly built. There was no sort of, I laid there in front of the TV when I was 10 and said, I'm going to be on Saturday Night Live. My life evolves on a more sort of glacial, organic pace than other people who know what they want to do with their lives. I mean, I just turned 50. I'm still not quite sure what I want to do with my life. But actually, I do feel like doing improv and having worked in production has really, I mean, aside from being, a funny person on television or an actor, I also think of myself as I work in the entertainment industry. I have a pretty holistic understanding of the way things work because I started out as a production assistant and I worked in production and I kind of consider, not to pat myself on the back or have some kind of, to proudly proclaim my humility, but I do tend to think of what I do as just being another member of the crew. And I love working on film crews. I still love making filmed entertainment. That's still like, that's the excitement for me, not performing for an audience and not even so much getting less nice, but what I really like is I like working on a film crew and I like making filmed entertainment. 'Cause honestly, I was sort of half kidding where I haven't figured out what I want to do, but the notion of like having something to say and having a message you have to get out, I really don't know what that is, but I do like working around funny people. And left to my druthers, I'll go home and make a nice dinner for my family. I don't need to be on stage. But if I'm going to, you got to work for a living. And I luckily have a skill set that allows me to work in just about the most fun atmosphere I can think of. So to me, it's all about, it's a profession. It's all about work, and it's about working with fun people. And that was a big reason why, I did the Christmas special, was because I've known Matt Besser for, God, like going on 30 years now, I think. I've been 25 years now.
How did you two meet?
And we met in Chicago just doing improv. I was like a junior when he was a freshman, sort of. You know, I'm a little bit older than him. And he was always a really funny guy. And he was in with a group of guys that were really funny. They were kind of young upstarts, and they were all, they would come to parties and kind of, with like swagger, like they felt like they had something to prove. And I always thought it was hilarious because, it's like the Chicago improv guys, it's not like they're a gang of bully jocks, they're just fuck ups like the rest of us, but they would always kind of come and talk about like, one of their bits was always about like getting in fights. Like they talk about it. They would talk as if they were a street gang. And, in that group was Horatio Sands, Adam McKay was one of them. There was a very funny guy, and I think he sort of styled himself a little bit Andy Kaufman-esque, a guy named Rick Roman, who actually sadly died in a car accident very young. But he was a very funny guy that was a part of their circle. And then Matt Walsh got in with them. I've known Matt and I were on improv teams at Improv Olympic, and Ian Roberts and Amy Poehler. But I got to know Ian and Amy later after they'd come to New York. I mean, I think I met Amy in Chicago, but I didn't really know her until she came, until they all came to New York. But yeah, that's why. I mean, I feel when they started in New York, when the UCB started in New York, it was just the four of them coming to New York cold. To do shows, to teach classes, and to, I think, try and get a TV show, which, you know, they ended up doing on Comedy Central. But they had, you know, those guys had a, they were on a mission. They were not like me. They were, you know, they were there to set the world on fire. And so they came to New York with that drive to, you know, I mean, this kind of the grandiosity of youth, like they were going to set sketch comedy on its ear, I think. But they just, from day one, I mean, I saw their very first show, and my wife and I both used to be kind of regular monologues at their long form improv stuff. And just out of happenstance, my wife and I lived three doors down the street from their first theater space that they rented on 22nd Street. We just happened to live, just as a coincidence, live three doors down. And in fact, a couple of years we had a shared New Year's Eve party with them.
So you've already been doing holiday parties with UCB people.
Since. Yes, I certainly have for many, many years. This one's a little bit more coherent than the previous ones, and shorter too.
Welcome to Andy Richter's Home for the Holidays, starring Make-A-Wish winner, Little Bobby Duca.
Hi, I'm Seth Morris. I'm playing Bob Duca here at the Christmas special.
Sentient tree, Sappity Tappity.
Hi, this is John Daly, and I am in the Andy Richter Holiday special, and I'm playing Sappity Tappity, the drunk English pine tree.
First Lady Michelle Obama.
My name is Aga Wodum, and I'm playing Michelle Obama. This is my first time playing Michelle. I've been meaning to, and right in the nick of time I got to, because she's leaving the White House soon. So just right before she exits the White House, over 8 years, this is my first time getting to do it. So, yeah, I had to get that done real fast.
A visit from St. Nick.
Hi, I'm Eddie Pepitone, and I play Santa for the Andy Richter Christmas special.
And your host, Andy Richter.
Happy holidays, everyone. Come on in. Hey there, I'm Andy Richter. And you know, there's nothing like spending the holidays with the family. And I don't mean your family, I mean my family. Let's meet them.
Hey, I'm Deanna, I'm Andy's sister. And I'm keeping a bingo card of all the ways that Andy's fucking up Christmas again.
Hi, I am Deanna Riesenover. I'm a writer and an actress, and I am participating in the Andy Richter Home for the Holidays special as his sister.
How did you get involved with Home for the Holidays?
You know what? Besser actually pulled me on. We did a show together for a little bit called We Can Fix You, which is us hearing real people's problems and offering them like kind of terrible advice. But he also saw another sketch that I did where I played kind of a similar character. So he was like, you want to do it? And I was like, yeah.
Besser asked me to do it. So I said, yes, that's pretty much a short story. But here we are.
This is Lauren Lapkus,
and I play Lauren, Andy's wife.
I got involved. I was contacted by Matt Besser, the UCB guru, and Matt said, are you interested? And I said, you're damn right I am.
Besser hit me up and asked me if I wanted to do it.
That's simple.
Yeah.
It seems to be a common thread in everyone involved in this project.
Pretty good.
And this is Betsy Sodaro.
I will be playing Andy's mom.
Can you think of any like Christmas traditions that stand out to you, or maybe that you even continue to this day?
My family has a number of Christmas traditions that we do. When I was little, we read a Tolkien book about the North Pole or something that involved a polar bear that was one of Santa's helpers on the North Pole. So every year on Christmas Eve, we get a Christmas gift at our door from the polar bear. When I was a kid, it would be like a game that my brother and I could play in anticipation of the big day. And we listened to the Polar Express as read by, hold on, there's a Liam Neeson version that's not the good one. Ugh, I'm going to forget the guy's name. There's an older version. We had a tape. Press play on that, and I'll turn out the lights, and 20 minutes of pure nostalgia happening.
And did that polar bear ever get you any gifts?
Yes, the polar bear once brought my brother and me some they were from Aveda, the like body product place, but it was like these stuffed animals that had lavender in them.
We always have Italian for Christmas Eve dinner. It's always an Italian meal. I don't know.
The same Italian meal, or is it
Usually it is manicotti, but once in a while it'll be different stuff. And then we have a pretty specific present unwrapping ritual that we've been doing since I can remember, where I open first because I'm the youngest, and then it goes to like the next oldest, whatever.
And yeah. Rotation.
And now that there are nieces, they open first, and then I get to go. So yeah, that's kind of I feel those are the most.
Have you played Santa before, or is this your first time?
I have played Santa many times in my life. I don't know if it's my outgoing personality or my gut, but I have been doing Santa for many years. I used to be the Penn Station Santa in New York City on the weekends. I was hired by Penn Station, the railroad, to be Santa. That was kind of very sweet, because it was free for people, and I'd have all kinds of adults and children, you know, adults as well as kids, you know, getting their picture taken with me, and it was really sweet. I used to do it on the weekend for a couple of years in New York.
Any specific moments that stand out from that time?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was really – well, I said it was sweet because there would be like homeless people who looked like they were really kind of down and out, and they would see me doing the Santa thing, and they could get their picture taken by someone, and then they were given the picture. And that was like really kind of a true holiday moment where people seemed to be uplifted, you know. So I like that.
That's awesome.
And the kids were great. And it was also fun seeing the kids get scared of me. Like the kids who were afraid of Santa was kind of funny, too. They would start crying, and I would be like, well, that's more what I'm used to in my life.
Yeah. Is there a secret to being a good Santa?
Is there a secret? Just to be kind of very gregarious, I think, just to be really kind of outgoing and really get into that aspect of it. And then you really can't lose.
I've been doing music shows through UCB for years and years. And
I'm Michael Cassidy,
and I'm playing Mucky Danders, the musical uncle. This is actually kind of a partial hybrid from another act that I do as Mucky with Neil Campbell and Paul Rust, who we perform a silly Spoofmas show every Christmas, which is a show centered around acts that are parodies of Christmas carols. And we're kind of from the old Tin Pan Alley days, some old gentlemen who were the kings of spoof comedy back in the day. So he's kind of an old coot who plays piano, and in this show is accompanying a few musical guests. There are a lot of Christmas traditions that I truly love. I definitely wrote out the Santa Claus thing longer than I should have. I certainly knew that Santa Claus was a myth and wrote that out for a good 3 or 4 years longer to milk the presents for it. I would say more recently as an adult, I love now waking up on Christmas Day. Now we try to have no plans if we can. And if we can stay around Los Angeles, it's so great to wake up with no plans.
Well, especially I feel like Christmas time in LA, it's almost like everyone leaves.
Yeah.
And you feel like
you get to be
like
a ghost
town
or something. Yeah. Yeah, right. And then I ride my sports car around and hunt deer and run when the sun goes down.
Oh, man. My family is, as far as holiday traditions go, my family is like the worst. You know what I mean? Like, we have no follow through. We don't even have, like, I was trying to think of like a food that we eat every year. I remember one year we were like, I don't know, falafel. That's it. Like, we're so lazy.
My brothers and I, every year, we will take our stockings and do a funny thing that I could invent on the spot right now that I could tell you would be hilarious. But there are no holiday traditions. Our holiday tradition is getting together as a family and in increasingly smaller and smaller houses that my parents live in, and celebrating and trying not to be sad. That's a real answer. And everyone drinks, and it's not happy, but it's not sad. You know, it's just life, baby. That's my holiday tradition, living my goddamn life.
In the last 10 years or so, my family has developed a specific holiday tradition in that my mom lives right behind one of these guys that decorates his house, you know, for months on. He starts the day after Thanksgiving and has this ridiculous Christmas house that people come and look at for miles away. And he wants some, there's a TV show, he wants some contest. So we go and look at his ridiculous house and we see it from the back. And then we go and get the full view from the front. And my niece's birthday is Christmas Day. So it's sort of double birthday Christmas tradition.
Oh my goodness. You know, I just recently, I grew up in my mom is Jewish and my dad is Protestant, so we celebrated both Hanukkah and Christmas. And I just recently started getting back into I bought a menorah and started lighting the candles again on the 8 nights of Hanukkah. Hi, I'm Michael Blakelock, also known as Mookie, and I'm playing Andy Richter's son in the CISO Christmas special. You know, when you grow up and move away from home, it's easy to get a Christmas tree and put it up. But, you know, it's like this 8 night long thing that you have this nice little burning monument in your home. So it's just a nice little, it's less religious for me and more just nostalgic of, you know, lighting the candles with my mom.
My longest standing holiday tradition is probably making Patti LaBelle's rainbow mac and cheese, which is basically death in a baking dish, but I make it every single year for Christmas for my family since I discovered the recipe maybe like 15 years ago. So it's just every single kind of cheese, 4 sticks of butter.
The big holiday tradition I remember as a kid was my dad would read 'Twas the Night Before Christmas to the family. Up until the year that I started, like, just cracking jokes every time I could, every chance I got, I would just kind of say something ironic or dumb about the story. And then he just slammed the book shut and we never opened it again. I'm Alan McLeod and I play the talking gift. So now my tradition is my wife and I, everywhere we go, we get a Christmas ornament from every new place we go.
How many ornaments do you have?
I haven't counted, but I have, I think it's about 70 ornaments.
Oh, wow.
It's a pretty full tree, yeah. I'm proud of it, and it's a catalog of trips we've taken.
Have you ever been to a place and wanted to get an ornament that didn't have one?
We were in Hawaii recently, and I, for the life of me, couldn't find, like, an ornament that really kind of summed up Hawaii for us until the last day, and then I got it in there. Yeah. Phew. It was real hairy.
And it's almost the trip isn't even worth it at that moment.
No, I was never going to tell anyone about it.
Ziploc full of sand and just tied to the tree.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
What do people need to know about this show? You need to know that it is a lot of fun and, you know, I think when you think of like a comedy Christmas special, you're like, oh, they're just going to do some silly stuff. But it's truly like, you know, we're doing like weird, gross, I don't know if I can say fucked up stuff. So that it's funny. It's funny. We're just messing around. It's you get to watch a bunch of people who like each other mess around professionally. I mean, every little these rehearsals have been very technical, but every little sort of improvisation to kind of break the monotony of like the work that we're doing is always really fun to hear, especially Seth Morris's Bob Duca, which is one of the greatest characters in comedy, so to watch him come up and mess around as Bob is really fun.
I would say this is a pretty close approximation to what a fun live UCB show is. UCB has a tradition of kind of literally, let's put on a show kind of thing, and this project came together quickly, but it's the more professional, nuanced version of let's put up a show in our barn. And I think what you're going to see is a lot of fun, scripted moments, and then a lot of totally unforeseen things that nobody saw coming.
Well, there are so many funny people in this. So a lot of it is very, very funny. But yesterday in rehearsal, what really stuck out for me was Bob Duca's ailments being hilarious. Played by Seth Morris, and he just goes on and on listing his ailments and hypochondriacal stuff, and it was really creative and funny. So that so far has been one of my favorite things.
Oh, it's really fun. I think people should watch this if you like Pee Wee Herman and some like crazy Christmas type of stuff. You'll enjoy this. It's a really fun twist on a classic sort of thing. So I think some fun moments are, well, my favorite moment is when Betsy attacks Christmas tree. So you just have to see it to believe it.
This is going to be everyone's new tradition. When they see the gift that Andy gets at the end of the show, I'm not going to spoil it, they're going to decide that that is the gift that they give their loved ones every year.
Oh, because it's super fun and it just it celebrates Christmas, but then also kind of calls it out. And it's, I don't know, it's a bunch of funny people. It'll be fun.
If someone's on the fence about watching this special, I'd tell them that, I mean, there's so many fun parts about this. There's going to be something for you to laugh at, whether it is, you know, just obnoxious characters and behavior, or it's references to things that in pop culture or social media. It's a great special, and there's going to be something for everyone to laugh at and something that everyone's going to find funny.
Well, thanks for listening. This is Andy Richter. Make sure to check out Andy Richter's Home for the Holidays on CISO. Merry Christmas.
That's great. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right.
Great talking to you.
I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening this week. I know it might sound super pluggy or promo-y, but seriously, check out Andy Richter's Home for the Holidays. If you like any one of these people involved, you're going to like this special. And if you want to know more about the people involved, you can find them all online.
Oh, you can follow me at Alan McLeod, AllanMcLeod, on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, I guess my Twitter, at Michael Cassady, MichaelCassady.
My Twitter is at Lil Mookie B, LilMookieB. And yeah, that's it for now.
I did get a website. I think it's diana.net. I never update it, but you can go check out what I did one weekend. And I love to Instagram my life. So that's at dianareasonover.com. And it's as difficult to spell as you think it is.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Eddie Pepitone. And that's it, yeah. Oh, and you can listen to my podcast on All Things Comedy. My podcast is just called Pep Talks on All Things Comedy.
Yeah, I have a podcast called with special guest Lauren Lapkus. You can check that out and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Lauren Lapkus.
You can follow me on Twitter at Birdie So Dirty. I'm also on a cartoon with Mookie. I don't know if he said that. On Disney XD called Right Now Kapow. You should check it out. I think Mondays at 9. It's great.
I would say, actually, I want to plug, while you're on CISO, check out Bajillion Dollar Properties. Yeah. Cool. Thank you.
Oh, sure. People can follow me on Twitter at Eggy Boom. It's Eggy _boom. So EGGY _BOOM. I wish I didn't have the underscore, but some woman named Esther somewhere in middle America doesn't even use her Twitter, took Eggy Boom without the underscore, and I'm still bitter about it.
And of course, we're on Twitter as well at CESO Show. That's SEESO Show. I'm at Andrew Steven. And this is the end of the episode. Hope you enjoyed it. Check out Andy Richter's Home for the Holidays on CESO December 20th. Bye.
Listening to this podcast for, you should be going to watch the show on CISO, and Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and all of it.